Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Great to see everyone this morning. We've got the preaching microphone today. Who's ready for a preach this morning? Anybody ready for a preach? Well, it is almost Easter. I say almost Easter. That means if you've eaten an Easter egg already, you are in trouble this morning. Who has eaten an Easter egg already? Any guilty? I see those hands. Well, now we'll just lead in a prayer of repentance and confession today. It is Easter week. We are right at the start, as Matthew told us a couple of moments ago. It's Palm Sunday, the day where we remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey and the people waved those branches in the air and they laid down their cloaks and they cried out, Hosanna. Who is glad this morning that Jesus Christ is still King? Are you glad today? The King is here. Isn't that a great declaration that we've sung this morning? The King is here. He's in our presence today. And that's the only reason that we need today to worship God, that He is in our midst. He's the only one that matters this morning. And I just want to share a great encouragement with us today. It's Easter. I hope you're excited about Easter. I hope you've been taking the time to set things aside, to devote your heart towards Easter. I want to encourage you over these next few days of Holy Week. Can I encourage you to set aside time to prepare your heart? And maybe you're on the Bible app. Who here has got a mobile telephone, a smartphone? If you've got the Bible app on your phone, I want to encourage you, why not for these next 7 days, start one of those Easter devotionals and just set aside time for a fresh revelation of what Easter is all about. You know, Easter is one of those times of the year which is so familiar. Come on, we've heard about it since we were babies, for some of us here. We're so familiar with the story of how Jesus went to the cross, died for our sins, and on the third day rose again. It's so easy to say. It's the most spectacular and the most significant event that happened in the whole of world history. Isn't it? It's the most significant event of our lives. Everything changed in that moment. Hey, my prayer for us over these next few moments, these 20-odd minutes or so, is that we have a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. That we have a fresh appreciation of Easter, of Good Friday, of Easter Sunday. Come on, what all that means to us this morning. So it's almost Easter. I want to encourage you today by looking at a passage that maybe we would think would go to the Palm Sunday story, but there's another event which happens right in the middle of the sequence of events. And it's a beautiful, beautiful instance of worship. Today it's important that we remember this point as well. It's important that we take time to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's important that we remember His great love for us. In fact, it's probably worth just taking a moment to tell everybody and remind you, God loves you so much. He loves you so much that He gave you His very, very best. Heaven's best. His one and only Son. And let's keep that in the forefront of our minds over these next few moments, but also as we go into this Easter Holy Passion Week today. Today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible, Mark chapter 14. Jesus has just returned to Bethany, not long after His most profound miracle, the resurrection of Lazarus. Quite impressive. Lazarus is dead for 4 days, and Jesus speaks to him and tells his body to rise, and he comes back to life. Incredible miracle. And afterwards, a few days later, they're having a party to celebrate this, to honor Jesus for what He has done. And it's quite a party. The Gospels tell us that there's a house full. And in that room already, there is Simon, the man who was healed of leprosy, and they're having it in his house. And Lazarus, the dead man who was dead for 4 days, is there. And then Jesus, The one and only Son of God is in that room already. That's quite a party already. A man who's been healed from leprosy, someone who was dead for 4 days, and someone else, the one and only Jesus Christ, is in that room. Have you ever played that game? If you could invite 3 people to a dinner party, who would you invite? Anybody played that before? Billy Graham, Bruce Springsteen, Ally McCoist, right there. That's my 3. Definitely. Billy Graham, come on. Can you imagine all those stories of crusades and people that he saw come to Jesus, the presidents, the people of power that he met with? Bruce Springsteen, he'd probably be like, serenade us with some music, just some entertainment as we're having our meal. He'd even write a song about it, something that I would remember that moment for. And Ally McCoist, I mean, come on, just the finest super Ally. He would be the one who would be telling us all the jokes. He would be lightening the mood, some anecdotal. Some people aren't impressed by Ally McCoist. That would be for me. Who would be your 3? Who would be your 3, alive or dead, any celebrity, somebody that you could have there? But in this room, there's a party fall. There's someone who's been healed of leprosy. There is someone who was dead for 4 days, and Jesus is in that room. Now, I know what you're saying. And Daniel, you didn't see Jesus. Didn't say Jesus. Jesus is the unseen guest at every table, isn't he? He's always there. But in this party, he is there. And they are in this room, and John tells us actually that there's others there. The disciples are there as well. Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, are in this room as well. It's a defining moment actually in the lead up to the cross. There are many perspectives and motives in this room. And at this point, they are highlighted and they are revealed. Jesus will demonstrate what true devotion to him looks like. But at the same time, he will expose religious and selfish attitudes of some others. So turn with me to chapter 14 of Mark's gospel. And we're going to read from verse 1. Now, the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or they may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of them present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Father, I pray for fresh revelation of Jesus. Fresh revelation of his love for me. Fresh revelation of all that he has done for me. Father, I pray for us in these next few moments that you'll remind us of your incredible love. Give us fresh eyes to see all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray against the familiarity, Lord, of the Easter story. Lord, I pray, Lord, that I would see this with fresh eyes today. Holy Spirit, help me in these next few moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Within the characters in this room, there are different points of view, different perspectives. There's a clash of self-interest and sacrificial devotion. The religiosity and self-interest of some will be exposed by one sacrificial act of worship. Now, highlighted in this story are 2 of the followers of Jesus. John's gospel really names and shames people. Mark just kind of gives us straight, just an overview of what's going on. But John's gospel tells us that the woman here is Mary. And John also tells us that the one that really had a problem here is Judas. Judas, the disciple who will betray Jesus. Mary, the brother of Lazarus. They are both in the same room, but their hearts are in different places. Mary is a grateful giver, whilst Judas is only interested in what he can get. He's a taker. This event is the last straw for Judas. In this moment, he realizes that he did not want the kingdom which Jesus spoke of. He wasn't interested in sacrifice. He wasn't interested in sacrifice at all. He was interested not in a spiritual kingdom, but an earthly empire. His motivation was wealth, power, and greed. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus was not going to deliver for Judas what he desired. And he finally comes to this conclusion that Jesus isn't worth it. You see, Judas here, he values position and power, possessions more than he valued Jesus. Think about it. He'd walked with him. He was there. He'd seen him walk on water. He'd seen the miracles. He'd heard him preach. He saw the blind eyes open. He saw all that, but he comes to this point where he thinks, no, actually, I'd far rather have greed, wealth, possessions than Jesus. Now, Judas has observed the encounter with the rich young ruler. We spoke about that last time, when he wasn't willing to forsake the things that held on to him. And he's watched the widow put on that last mite into the offering plate on the way out of the temple. He saw all that and he's looked at it and he said, you know what? This is not for me. In fact, the only way I can get something out of Jesus is if I betray him. That's where Judas finds himself in this place. See, Jesus was not about taking. He was about multiplying and giving. That's the difference here. Judas is in this place where he says, what can I get out of this? What can I get? But Mary, what more can I give him? If Mary could have given more, she would have given more. If Mary could have done that, she would have done that. And that this juncture, this is where Judas checks out. He isn't willing to go any further. He's had enough. But Mary wishes she could have given him more. Two people are in the same room with the same person, and they see him completely different. See, Mary had a different revelation to what Judas had of Jesus. See, is it possible in this room that Mary is the only person that truly understands or has an insight to what is ahead? See, Jesus actually says, what she has done to me is in preparation for my burial. Did she have an insight that, hey, this could be my last opportunity whilst Jesus is on this earth that I can tell him how much he means to me? And did she recognize that Christ is King? Did she recognize that Jesus is the Son of God? Did she realize that this could have been her very last moment? What we can tell is that she had a revelation of Jesus which Judas didn't have. She had a revelation of Jesus that he was worth all of her worship. You see, our revelation, our understanding of who Jesus is will determine how we worship him. Worship means to ascribe worth. How you value Jesus, how you view Jesus will determine how you worship him. Think about it. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Imagine if your brother had came back from the dead. How grateful would you be? Martha and Mary must have been overwhelmed, overflowing with gratitude and thankfulness. She recognized that Jesus had the words that had the power to bring people from the dead back to life. She recognized who Jesus was. One of the first weeks of our Alpha Course asked this question, who is Jesus? And that is the most important question that every person must answer. Who is Jesus? Is he just a nice guy? Is he just a good teacher? Or is he the Son of God? Is he the one that has the power to bring the dead back to life? Who is Jesus? In fact, I would encourage you today to come to a conclusion to that question. Who is he? Judas didn't think he was worth it. Mary thought he was worth everything. Who is Jesus? Mary had a revelation of who Jesus is, which was so different to him. Mary took her opportunity. Mary took her chance. She didn't put it off till the next part or the next opportunity. She may never have got another chance. She took her moment. She gave her all. And she gives to us an example of breakthrough worship. This isn't a normal worship scene. This is an instance of beauty. Jesus said this is a beautiful thing. Question, when was the last time I did a beautiful thing? That actually Jesus would say, that is beautiful. You see, people in that room looked at it and thought, that's a waste. Jesus said, that's beautiful. She took her opportunity. She took her moment. She came prepared. She brought the bottle with her. That jar came along with her. She knew exactly what she was going to do. She was willing to sacrifice. She actually steps out in faith. Whilst others are looking at her with scorn and indignation, she's not put off by that. She's not deterred. This isn't a private moment of worship. This is a public act of worship. Her actions took a step of faith. She risked ridicule and rejection, but she was willing to take that risk because her worth of Jesus was so great. What I find so interesting here is that her words are not recorded. Only her actions. She says nothing. Sometimes the loudest worship is not by our words, but by our actions. Oh, but Daniel, we're encouraging you to make a big shout and praise. And yeah, but words are one thing, but actions are just equally as important. And in this circumstance, words weren't even necessary. What a beautiful place. Have you been in a place like that? When you've run out of words, when you've thanked him so much that words aren't enough, that you have to go and find the most expensive perfume and pour it all over Jesus. See, I don't think she never said anything. I think she'd gone to the point where she couldn't think of anything else to express the appreciation and the gratitude in her heart. She was willing to sacrifice. Our sacrifice today is our acts of thanksgiving. We don't sacrifice to get. No, we sacrifice because of what all he's already given us. He has given us his very best. He's given us his son. This perfume may have been a gift from a wealthy friend at the death of Lazarus. But what's true is that Judas and Mary both understood the price and the cost of this. One thought Jesus was worth it, the other one didn't. See, your understanding of who Jesus is will determine how much you value him. Mary and Judas both valued the perfume, but they didn't value the person equally. I wonder this morning, what is your revelation of Jesus? Who is he? Who is he? Is he your Lord? Is he the one that you have devoted and given your whole life to? That every fiber within your being lives for him. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? The psalmist says these words, who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? Who is the King of glory? The King of glory that came to this earth and hung on a cross, took my place, took your place, took the sin of the world, gave his life as a sacrifice, rose from the dead so that I could have everlasting life. You know, I think he's worth that kind of worship. I think he's worth the kind of worship when words are not necessary anymore. That you get to that place of beauty. Who is Jesus? So we've got revelation. We need to know who Jesus is. But there's got to be the correct motivation as well. I remember when Court and Deborah, Date and Deborah, I remember our very first date. And I'm going to give our young team some free advice here. You know, I had a motivation. I was looking for a second date. You know, you don't just want a first date, you want a second date. That's really important. And my motivation was to get a second date and that she would like me enough that I would get a second date. And praise the Lord, almost 5 years later, we've been married and that's, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I'm grateful for that. But in anticipation, come on, you're going to go the extra mile. You dress to impress. Matthew, why did you laugh so hard there? You make sure you've got your best shirt on. You make sure you... Young team, hope, see, the young team are taking notes. So busy. Nathaniel, so busy taking notes. This is all free advice. Totally free. And you put your best shirt on. You make sure there's no awkward silences. You fill it with just amazing conversation. You go to a nice restaurant. Yeah, you go to a lovely Italian restaurant, you know, you buy flowers, you know, you make sure you've got your aftershave on because you want to smell good, you know, you compliment. Wow, I'm telling you, I've got hope for our young team. They're so excited at this point. And I'm actually doing some favors for some parents here as well. You know, you put all this effort in and you're hoping you're going to get that second date. And praise the Lord, I got that second date. And we've had tons of other dates since then. And yeah, I'm excited about that. We're more excited about that. That's good. And but I got, that was my motivation. I want to get a second date. And I got a second date. Praise the Lord. But I had a revelation that I want to have a second date with Deborah. And I was motivated. And you know, our motivation reveals, or is the intention behind our actions. And we've got to be careful that we have the right motive. You see, the motives of the people are exposed here. The characters in this story are motivated by different things. Mary is motivated by gratitude. She's so thankful for what Jesus has done for her. Judas is motivated by his greed. Jesus is motivated by love. I love what it says there. Jesus says, she did what she could. She did what she could. You know, Jesus is not asking us to do anything more than we possibly can. She didn't have to go and find this bottle of perfume, this jar. She already had it. Jesus is not looking for you to go and find some extravagant gift. He's already given you all that you need to worship him. She did what she could. And that's all that Jesus was asking her to do. And it's all that he asks us to do. And I guess we've got to ask ourselves the question, am I doing all that I can do to worship him? And I just don't want to limit this to 20 minutes of singing on a Sunday. Because I think that's the overflow of our life of worship. Because I think we should be devoting all our lives. I think what Paul tells us is, you know, let our lives be a living sacrifice, our bodies be a living sacrifice. That's not just 20 minutes on a Sunday. No, it's what we do in our work week. It's what we do in the classroom. It's what we do in our friend's home. It's what we do whenever we find ourselves, all of our lives given to him. She did what she could, and she knew exactly what she was doing. This wasn't a whimsical thing. She knew exactly what she was doing. She wanted everybody to know how much she appreciated and valued Jesus. See, most people came to Jesus' feet to have their need met. But she came to give Jesus something. And often we're so quick to ask. And very slow to say, thank you. I want to encourage you as we go through Holy Week, the Passion Week, let's spend this week saying thank you. That attitude of gratitude. That if we just start by just saying thank you and just think of everything within our lives that we can give thanks for, I'll tell you, there will come a point where you begin to run out of words. There will become a point where I think I've thanked you for everything because I'm so grateful for all that you have done for us. Hey, we've got big things to ask for, but we've got so much to give thanks for as well. Most people came to have their need met, but she came to give something. She was grateful for what Jesus had done for her. How do you worship when God comes through for you in a way like this? When your brother has been laid in a tomb and has been dead 4 days, and Jesus says, rise, and he comes to life. How do you worship him after that? But we might not have resurrections, but I'll tell you something. We've got so much to give thanks for. We've got so many instances of small, tender mercies, or we've got amazing breakthroughs, and we've got to be so careful that we give thanks for that. In fact, Jesus came to earth. He came to earth, and he broke the power of sin and death, and he poured out his love for us. She came with the jar. She broke the jar, and she poured out the oil from that jar. Jesus poured out his whole life. He gave it all for us. So we've got revelation and motivation, but here's my third point, and this, I think, is the most powerful point, is transformation. You see, this is a powerful moment here. You could not leave the same as you came to this house party. When the perfume was opened, it filled the room. It clung to their clothes. Everybody left different after being in that house party because a beautiful act of worship had occurred. This is the power of breakthrough worship. Extravagant worship alters atmospheres. I wonder if you feel the atmosphere in your life is not in a good place. I wonder if you feel troubled. I wonder if you feel overwhelmed. I wonder if you feel stressed, panicked. I wonder if you feel uneasy. I tell you, one of the most effective things that you can do is have a personal worship time with God. And I'm not talking about, you know, we don't have to recreate church at home. Just you and God and just worship. I'll tell you, it will change the atmosphere in your life. It'll change. Doesn't mean the circumstance will change instantly, but it means in the presence will be a shift. And this is what happens here. And I think this is one of the most powerful things that we can do. She did a beautiful thing, Jesus said. So what was the beauty thing here? What was so beautiful about what she did? It was her heart. The beautiful thing was the gratitude within her heart. It was the motive behind her action. The beautiful thing was her heart, the heart of gratitude. Jesus would say, you guys are all looking at her with indignation, but all I see is beauty. I see a beautiful thing because he could see her heart, a heart that was full of thanksgiving, a heart that was full of gratitude. I want to have that heart this week. I want to have that heart when I go through Holy Week, when I think about all that happened this week and just try to center my thoughts and on that. I have a heart of gratitude. I remember a few months ago, we were just getting in the car and Deborah was looking in her bag for something and she had one of those perfume testers and it had broken within her bag and it had gone everywhere. And she knew exactly when she opened the bag, the smell just came out of that bag and everything was infected, was infused with the perfume in that moment. And when she opened the bag, even I could smell it. I knew that something had happened there. Wouldn't it be a beautiful week if something was broken? And a heart of gratitude. I wonder what our lives would look like. I wonder how different life would be if we spent every day in gratitude saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just do what you could. Not anything great, nothing. Just what can I do to express my appreciation for what Jesus has done for me? I'm going to ask the band to come because I want to spend some time just saying thank you this morning. I just want to spend some time saying thank you today. They're going to lead us in a song of praise and thanksgiving today. And I want to just be in that place where I say, thank you, Jesus. And like Mary, doesn't matter what the people are doing else in the room. It's just me and Jesus. And I just want to express my appreciation. But just as the band are getting ready this morning, I want to give you an opportunity today to maybe for the first time say yes to Jesus. We saw an incredible video a few moments ago of children raising their hands saying, I want Jesus to be my friend. And Matthew led them in a very, very simple prayer. And, you know, it is a very simple prayer. It's admitting that we've done things that we regret. That the Bible calls that sin. And that offended God, and so much that Jesus had to die on that cross, that he took the punishment for our sins. In fact, we can be forgiven for our sins today. Hey, maybe you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin. That's the most important thing you can do today. That actually you're going through life with a heaviness. You're going through life with regret. You're just a realization that you don't have that relationship like Mary did in the Bible today. Even being in here today, you recognize I'm missing something. People in this room have something which I don't have. Well, there's an opportunity for you here today. And I want to give you that opportunity. So as every head is bowed and eye is closed, you're here today and you say, Daniel, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I know I've done things that I regret. I recognize that I need God's forgiveness today. I recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, he took my place, he took my sin, he took the punishment for my sin, and I would like to receive his forgiveness today. If that is you, can you help me today by just raising your hand, just like the kids did in that video? And I'm the only one looking at this moment. And if you raise your hand, I see your hand, that's great. Is there anybody else this morning? If you're here and you say, that's me, come on, there's one this morning. Is there anybody else here today? Is there anyone else here today that says, that's me? I want to give you this chance to say, I need Jesus. I recognize today. If that's you, can you raise your hand? Well, church, can you help me today? Because we're going to lead in a prayer right now. Help me today. Speak loud and clear. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. Forgive me of my sin. I commit my life to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Holy Spirit, make me into a new creation. Help me every day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise this morning in the house of God. Salvation is here. Salvation is here.